Let us turn in our Bibles to the first letter of John, 1 John, and chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, first epistle of John the Apostle, chapter 2, and reading verses 9 and 10. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And our subject this evening is the exhortation to love. The exhortation to love. Well, last week we looked at the importance of obedience, the importance of obedience, that which was presented to us from verses 3 right up to verse 6. And really this was speaking about the commandments of God and the importance of keeping them. And we considered how the law of God, the moral law, is vital for our sanctification, not our justification. We are not justified or accepted by God through our law keeping. We are justified by faith. Christ is our righteousness. He has made atonement for us. We all know that very well. We are saved from the condemnation of the law because Christ has been condemned in our place. But once we are saved, the law still has a very important role in our sanctification. How are we to live as Christian people? How are we to live? How are we to progress in our Christian lives? How are we to grow? Well, it is by looking to the moral law, the Ten Commandments, living by the moral law of God. Of course, we cannot do it perfectly, but we do our best, and it is vital for our sanctification, for growing in grace. It's one of the ways by which we know that we are truly saved. This is how we know. It's not through head knowledge. It's not through knowledge of doctrine, not through the demonstration of any particular gift. One of the ways, one of the surest ways in which we know that we are saved, we are obedient to the word of God, to the moral law. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Verse 3 of chapter 2. It's the way of blessing as well. We mentioned that last week. God delights to bless those who are most obedient, not most intelligent, those who are most obedient. And we ended last week by stating that, well, when we keep the law of God, when we do our best to follow the moral law, well, then we are Christ-like. To be Christ-like, to be like him, he is our righteousness. He perfectly obeyed the law. So if we are to be Christ-like, we must seek to walk in those ways, the moral law. This is our guide. This is how we resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we walk even as he walked, which was our last point last week in verse 6. And well, all these things are very important for us to grasp for our Christian lives. But now the apostle will focus on, well, he's mentioned the moral law, but now he's going to focus on that which is the very essence of the law. The essence of the law, the heart of the Ten Commandments. What is the heart of the law of God? It is love. At the heart, at the very essence of the moral law of the Ten Commandments, it's love. Now, this may surprise many of us, although we did touch on these things quite a lot in our series on the Ten Commandments. But at the heart of the commandments is love. The Apostle Paul affirmed this, Romans chapter 13 and verses 8 to 10, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, I couldn't put it any better, of course not. The Apostle Paul, he sums up the law in that way. The law, the Ten Commandments, well, at the very heart, it is love. And well, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ also affirmed the law in this way in Matthew 22 and verses 36 to 40. We have the lawyer who comes up to the Lord Jesus Christ and asks him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And what did the Lord say to him? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love is at the very heart of the Ten Commandments. And this is so important for us to understand if we are to have a good grasp of the Ten Commandments and the moral law. The first and great commandment, the Lord Jesus Christ said, is to love the Lord thy God. And well, of course, I don't want to go into great detail because of limited time, but when we think of the first table of the Ten Commandments, the first half of the Ten Commandments, what are they teaching us? They're teaching us how to love God, not simply to obey various rules. How do I love God? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's a good start on how to love God. It is teaching us how we are to love God, not simply following rules. Thou shalt make no graven image. Well, we love God, not an image of God. We worship him in the right way. We have the right worship and praise of God. We do not take the Lord's name in vain. If you love somebody, you don't take their name in vain. You don't use it as a swear word. This is how we love God. The commandments are teaching us this, how we are to love God, to show him our love and our respect and to honor him. Remember the Sabbath day, of course. Keep that one day in seven free for him. You love God so much, you will keep that day free. So the first table of the law, it teaches us how to love the Lord, our God. And the second table, well, that teaches us how we are to love one another. The first table, of course, for God. The second table, how we are to love one another. Honor thy father and mother, of course. Thou shalt not kill, no aggression, only kindness, gentleness, and patience. Thou shalt not commit adultery, no unfaithfulness to one another, of course not. If you love somebody, you won't steal from them. If you love somebody, you won't lie to them. If you love somebody, you won't covet what they have for yourself. Dear friends, this is so very obvious. I know many of you know this, but how often we need to remind ourselves. This is the focus of the law. This is the intention of the law. So many people have the wrong idea. The law is oppressive. The law enslaves us. The law takes away my joy. No, it doesn't. The law teaches us how to love God and how to love one another. That is the great intention, the great purpose of the law. And well, this culture needs such teaching. It's very ironic, isn't it? And I mentioned this, I'm sure, in the series we did on the Ten Commandments. This culture is always speaking about love. All you need is love. Love is everything, but it doesn't have the slightest idea how to love one another because it's rejected the guide, the Ten Commandments. It doesn't know how to love. It just sprouts these words. And yet there is no clear guidance on how to love one another. The guidance is in the moral law, the Ten Commandments. If only we esteem these commandments, we would see the increase of love in our society. So the apostle here, so he's going to speak about love, and we're going to get to that in a few moments. He's going to speak about loving one's brother and so on. But before he gets to that theme, well, he has to speak about the commandments. And look at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. Now, many people interpret that those words in different ways, but to me it's clear this is speaking about the Ten Commandments, the old commandment which they had from the beginning. Surely the readers, the early readers of this letter, would have been led to think upon the Ten Commandments. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. This is most certainly the law of Moses, the moral law. But then in verse 8, well, then he almost seems to contradict himself. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So how can we make sense of this? First, the apostle is talking about an old commandment. I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. And then in verse 8, he writes, a new commandment I write unto you. Well, how do we make sense of this? Well, how is this a new commandment? How can Moses' law, the Ten Commandments, be seen as new in the New Testament age, in the Gospel age? Well, there are many pointers even in this verse, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Which thing is true in him? Who's the him? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in you, you who are believers in Christ, you who are in Christ, you who have died to yourselves and been born again. And really, this is talking about conversion, about new life in Christ. This is how the commandment is new, because we look upon the commandments with new eyes. When we are saved, the commandments change. When we are born again, when we are born in Christ, we don't look at the commandments in the way that we used to, as onerous, as difficult, as tiresome. We don't look at them in that way anymore. Now they are new to us. A new commandment, and they are new in many ways. We are saved in Christ. The very terminology of this verse suggests that, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth, we are born again, we are believers in him, and we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we look upon these commandments with a new light. We do the commandments out of love for God. Now it's no longer do this and live. That was the Old Testament. The Jews of old, they saw the Ten Commandments and they thought to themselves, we can earn our way to heaven. Do this and live. And that's why it became such a burden to them. They were desperately trying to live up to the standard, but they couldn't. Every good day they had was undermined by all their sins. But now we are saved. Christ is our righteousness, and that has taken away the burden. Now we are at liberty to follow the law. Now we love the law. Now we have a greater power to help us to obey the law. We are saved. We are born again. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Unregenerate people, the unregenerate Jews, they didn't have that power to follow the law. Now we have that Holy Spirit working in us that helps us to overcome temptation. It frees us so that we can obey the law in a way in which we never did before. We are born again now. This is our delight to follow the law of God, and we have a new power to do so. In all these senses, this is new. And well, this is a tremendous thing. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. And this is how the commandment is made new to us. And verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So again, we are reminded of, a sign of somebody who is not saved. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. When we are saved, there is a new love in us. We love those around us. We love our enemies even, but we particularly have love for our brethren. This is one of the signs that we are saved, one of the signs that the Holy Spirit is working in us. Before we are saved, we did not seek out the fellowship of God's people. We did not want to come to church. We tried to avoid Christian people. We don't want to speak to them at all. But then a sign that we are saved, now we have a love for the brethren. Now we want to attend church. Now we want to actively seek out their company. Now we want fellowship with God's people. This is a true sign. But if we are not like that, if we are still hesitant and reluctant to have anything to do with the Lord's people, well, then that's not a good sign. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. This is a sign of the new birth, that we love our brother, but if we still hate our brother, we do not desire Christian fellowship, well, we have to question ourselves, are we actually saved, or are we still in darkness? He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. And verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Well, these words are very interesting. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he was the light, of course, in many ways. He brought light onto the moral law, light onto the commandments. Remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he expounded the law in a far greater way than had been seen before. He showed us what it means to follow the law. We read this in Matthew 5 and verses 27 to 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He expounded the law. People didn't know that or realize that before, but now Christ has come and he shed light on the commandments. And again, in this sense, he has made the commandment new. He has shed new light on commandment on how to, or thou shalt not kill. If you have hatred in your heart, if you hate someone and you insult them in your heart, well, then you are guilty of breaking that commandment of murder. Thou shalt not kill. And again, he shed great light on these things. But also, he shed light on how to love in the teaching that he gave, how to love one's brother. And in John 13, that passage which we read earlier, John 13 and verses 34 to 35, he wrote, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." This is a great sign of true conversion, and Christ is the great example of how we are to love one another. He commands us to love one another as I have loved you. Well, in future weeks, we're going to be touching on this theme repeatedly of brotherly love, so I don't want to make too many applications at this point, but let me just point out to you a couple of ways in which Christ has loved his people, his brethren, as it were. Well, first of all, to love one's brother means that we know one another. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He came to this earth, he knew his disciples, he knew his people. Even those whom he had never met before, all those who came to him for healing, he knew their personal details, the details of their lives intimately. He knew them. He loved them. He said in John 10, 14, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." So this is the first way that we love one another, as Christ has loved us. We know one another. This is how we love one another. And well, we have to make that exhortation and application to ourselves. Do we know one another in this church? Do we get to know one another? If we love one another, we will want to know that person. You know, sometimes you go to churches and it's very clear that they don't really know one another. They may seem very friendly and they have a welcoming committee and so on, but they don't really know one another. And that is very clear. And that's a church, that's the sign of a church that lacks love. If we love one another, we shall seek to have that knowledge, that intimate knowledge. We will desire to speak to one another, to communicate. We won't be wanting to leave immediately after the service. We will desire to know everything about one another's lives. How can we expect to pray for one another if we do not know one another? How can we expect to help one another if we don't know the problems and the troubles that are going on in our lives? This is a great aspect of loving our brother. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And so we must know one another. This is how Christ loves us. He knows us, and it's all part of this great process. But also to love our brother, well, remember that the church is a family. We are a family. In Mark chapter 3 and verses 31 to 35, well, the Lord Jesus Christ was presented with his brethren and his mother. "There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." So the Lord Jesus Christ, how did he view who his family members were? His family were those of the household of faith. And so when we love one another in a church as believers, we are to aim to love one another with that same level of love. We all love our family members, of course we do. We are given that natural love for our brothers, our sisters, our father, our mother. But if we are to love one another in a church, this is what we are to attain to aspire to. And therefore, this is why we don't hold one another at arm's length. We don't look to exit the church as soon as we possibly can. We are supposed to be a family of believers. And of course, well, it goes without saying that the bond that we have as believers is far stronger than the bond that we have in our families. The bond that connects us with our families is blood. But the bond that connects us as believers, well, that is Christ Jesus our Lord, a spiritual bond that will never be broken and that will never end. And so this is what it means to love our brother. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. But then we get that last part of verse 10, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Well, what can we take from that? He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. In the Greek, you could translate that word scandal, but it means really falling into sin, and particularly great sin. And what the teaching of this verse is that, well, when we love one another, when we love one another sincerely and earnestly, it will keep us from falling into sin. You know, we can get so caught up in the battle against sin. We are faced with sin and temptation, and we try and draw up all these battle plans and all these practical ways of avoiding sin, which are good, of course. I'm not bashing those. But dear friends, what is the greatest way to avoid sin? What is the greatest deterrent to keep ourselves from sin? It is to love. That is the lesson of this verse. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That is what will keep us from sinning. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of his perfect righteousness. Why was he perfectly righteous? Well, of course, we can give many reasons. He was perfectly righteous because he was God. Yes, of course. But he was perfectly righteous because he was perfect love, because he loved perfectly. That's why he was perfectly righteous. That's why he could walk without sin, because he loved God perfectly and because he loved his brother perfectly. That was the great reason. He is perfect righteousness because of his perfect love. And so when we love one another as we ought to, that will keep us a deterrent against sin. You know, whenever we sin, we cease to love. It's like, for example, if you faint, there's a lack of oxygen. Oxygen can't get to the brain. Whenever you faint, you must be lacking oxygen. Well, whenever we sin, you must be lacking love in some area of your life. You must be lacking love. If you sin against your parents, you've ceased to love them. That moment you sin, you've hardened your heart. You've stopped loving your parents. You sin against your husband. You sin against your wife. But that moment you've ceased, you've stopped loving them. And that's when the sin comes in. So this is what is meant here. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Oh, how we ought to pray to God every day. Lord, keep me from sin, yes. But Lord, help me to love my wife more. Help me to love my husband more. Help me to love my children more. Help me to love my parents more. Help me to love the members of the church more so that I won't sin against them. Help me to love unbelievers more. If unbelievers see your sin, it could lead them far away from Christ. You don't want to do that. I love those unbelievers, that unbelieving colleague. I don't want to be the reason why he never seeks Christ. I love him. Therefore, I will make sure I am obeying God and I am walking in obedience to him. So this is a tremendous teaching here. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So dear friends, that has to be a tremendous prayer for us. A life of holiness is driven by love. But look at verse 11 as we draw to conclusion. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Well, I mentioned earlier that if you are someone who has no love for Christian people, it could be a sign that you're not saved. But you know, even we as Christian people, we can be cold toward one another. We can have grudges toward one another. There can be rivalries against one another. Even as Christian people, we can be like that. But if we ever fall into that, well, look at what this verse says. He is in darkness. There won't really be any light upon us. We won't grow. We won't have any great joy or peace in our lives. We're still in darkness. We will walk in darkness. We will lack guidance because our walk with the Lord is not as it should be. Because we are hating our brothers, well, we will lose our way. We will walk in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. We will make the wrong decisions. We will have regrets because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. We've forgotten how we ought to be as Christian people. We are as though we are blind men. And dear friends, this ought not to be. We as Christian people, we must never walk in darkness. We must always seek the light. And a vital aspect of walking in light is loving our brother. When we do that, there is none occasion of stumbling in us. Well, dear friends, I just present to you some lessons that we can glean from those verses. I hope that has been clear for you this evening, but may the Lord help each one of us to walk as we ought to walk. Well, let us turn in our hymn books to our final hymn, hymn number 593. Hymn number 593, and this speaks about the boundless love of Christ to us. Hymn number 593. Jesus, thy boundless love to me no thought can reach, no tongue declare. O knit my thankful heart to thee and reign without a rival there. Thine holy, thine alone I am, Lord, with thy love my heart inflame. O grant that nothing in my soul may dwell but thy pure love alone. O may thy love possess me whole, my joy, my treasure, and my crown. All idols from my heart remove, my every act, word, thought, be love. O love, how cheering is thy ray! All pain before thy presence flies. Care, anguish, sorrow melt away wherever thy healing beams arise. O Jesus, nothing may I see, nothing desire or seek but thee. Unwearied may I this pursue, undaunted to the prize aspire, hourly within my soul renew this holy flame, this heavenly fire. And day and night be all my care to guard the sacred treasure there. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank thee that thou art the God who is love, and that Christ has loved us with an everlasting love, and that Christ has instructed us to love one another as he has loved us. O dear Lord, help us indeed to love in that manner, to love one another with that intimate knowledge, as it were, and to love one another as family. O dear Lord, help us, we pray, for we are not sufficient for these things. We need the enabling of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank thee that if we are born again, if we are in Christ, we have that help, that we can love the law, that it is new to us, dear Lord, that it is our delight. Lord, forgive us afresh all our many sins and help us in the days ahead to walk as children of light. And Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and continue with each one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.